Please turn with me tonight in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. The book of Hebrews, chapter 5. We're starting our reading at the 12th verse, reading down into the 6th chapter to verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of the hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. May God bless the reading of His own precious word to our hearts tonight. We'll bow now, please, for a word of prayer, asking for the Lord's help. Our Heavenly Father, as we wait now in Thy presence at the closing moments of our service, we pray for the help of the Spirit of God. Lord, help us, we pray, not to take any confidence in the flesh, in ourselves, in our own ability, for we have proved ourselves many times before to be very weak in every area. Lord, we come to just commit ourselves into Thy hands and to pray for the ministry of the Spirit of God this night. I pray that Thou would help me to speak clearly the word of truth. Give me, I pray, every word that is to be spoken tonight. I ask that I might know that help from heaven, that unction from God. But I also pray for everyone gathered here that will hear the word of truth. Father, may every heart be open to Thy precious word. O God, if people come into this service tonight and leave without hearing the message and the word of God, it will be of no avail or no point for their attendance. Lord, take away, we pray, every distracting and sinful thought, and cause us tonight to be closed in with our Lord Jesus. Cause, we pray, every distracting thought to be set aside. And, O Lord, we pray that there would be business done tonight for eternity, and that we would grow daily in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, that we would know what it is to walk close with God. Father, help us, we pray. We are living in a day and a time when there is much to discourage. much to cause us to be set aside. But Lord, we come with confidence this night, knowing that it is the Lord Jesus who is building His own church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against its onward march. So Lord, we pray, help us to be faithful in this day and generation, in the time that we have left. Lord, help us, we pray, to be faithful unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now hear our prayers tonight. Help us to rejoice and to enjoy our time together. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight from the Word of God on the subject of going on unto perfection in the Christian life. There are many challenges to face and many obstacles to overcome, and at times perhaps we wonder if we will make it at all. The Hebrew Christians, and the problem that the Apostle Paul, whom I believe to be the writer of the book of Hebrews, as he was writing to these people, he was dealing with a problem of immaturity in their Christian walk. This immaturity in their faith kept them in ignorance. It led them both to question and to doubt their own faith, to doubt the doctrines of the Word of God, and to keep them in infancy regarding their own spiritual development. Now, Paul is dealing with this problem in the context of these chapters, and I want to introduce our message tonight by looking at this problem before we come to some words of encouragement that we all need to press on into perfection in our own Christian walk. It was a man who died not long ago by the name of Charles Templeton. For approximately 20 years, he was a major figure in the church in Canada and the United States. He preached the gospel at Youth for Christ rallies in Massey Hall in Toronto, and there is evidence of people of coming to Christ as a result of his ministry. He was known then mostly as Chuck Templeton. He quickly rose to the top of what we call, or what has been called, Protestant evangelism. Around that time, he hosted a weekly religious program called Look Up and Live on CBC. He and Billy Graham toured the United States and the world, filling football stadiums with upwards of 30,000 people that would come to these great crusades. Back then, many predicted of this man that he would supersede Graham, and that it would be him and not Graham who would become the great and the biggest evangelical preacher in history. But he did not do that. He went to Princeton Theological Seminary to learn more, and he came out as an agnostic. For the major part of his life, he turned to criticize Christianity and to deny the truth that he once preached. His last book was called Farewell to God. The subtitle, My Reasons for Rejecting the Christian Faith. Turning away from God and rejecting the Bible and His Word is not a new phenomenon. The Old Testament gives to us several examples of those who were in the congregation of the Lord. They heard the voice of God audibly. They saw the evidence of the power of God, both in miracle demonstrated openly, and yet in the rebellion and pride of their own heart, they rejected God. Balaam is an Old Testament character that comes to us in the book of Numbers, and it tells us in Numbers 24 and 3 that he was a man who had his eyes opened. And yet with his eyes opened, he went down into the darkness of a lost eternity. We are told that both in the book of Jude and in Peter in the New Testament. A man who heard the word of the Lord. A man who is called the prophet of the Lord. A man who prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ. And yet, he went to be with those that hated the Lord. He fellowshipped and associated with those who were the enemies of God. Paul warns us back in chapter 3, if you turn back for one moment to the 8th verse, chapter 3 of Hebrews, he warns the Hebrew Christians that they should not harden their hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. He's telling the people, take note of what happened to those in the Old Testament during their wilderness wanderings, how they provoked God. They should not be like those people who had the word of the Lord, who saw the testimony, and yet they rejected, they hardened their hearts against the Lord. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now back in chapter 6. You see, what the apostle is here doing, he is laying for them a very strong foundation. And the strong foundation is this, that if you are ignorant of the Word of God, and if you are not prepared to study and to develop in your own Christian faith, beware that you will not be led down the pathway and down that road that will lead you eventually to jettisoning of your faith, surrendering of the things that once you believed, a giving up and a giving in. Now the apostle says in the 4th verse of chapter 6, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and of the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and have put Him to an open shame. This portion of the Word of God is not an easy one to fully understand. It deals with the subject of apostasy. And in your study of the Scriptures, to fully identify what apostasy is, it is a challenge. Now we know on the surface that the word apostasy means a falling away from the faith. But is it possible for a true Christian to fall away from their faith? And therefore, to whom and to what does the word apostasy apply? Now, Albert Barnes, the commentator, said regarding this portion, he said, they could not, after having been Christians and then apostatizing, be recovered. And so he indicates by that very quote, according to his own idea, that it is a possible thing for a Christian to fall away. Well, I do not accept that particular interpretation, but rather would side with Matthew Henry, for he notes upon this portion. He said, they may taste of the heavenly gift. They may feel something of the efficacy of the Holy Spirit. in His operations upon their souls, causing them to taste something of religion, and yet be like persons in the marketplace who taste of what they will not come up to the price of, and so but take a taste and they leave it aside. Persons may taste religion and seem to like it if they could have it upon easier terms than denying themselves and taking up their cross and following Christ. And then he goes on to say, these great things are spoken here of those who may fall away, yet it is not here said of them that they were ever truly converted, or that they were justified. There is more in true saving grace than in all that is here said of apostates. Mr. Henry goes on to speak about the fact there is no proof in the Bible of a final apostasy of true saints. He goes on to say that, yes, we have our times of folly. We have our times of failure. We have our times of doubting. But yet the purpose of God will not be thwarted by the will of man. And that which is the immortal seed that is planted in the heart of the person who has been regenerated has a security that is bound in the blood of Jesus Christ and upon His everlasting merit. You see, the Lord Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. If we as children of God were able to one day perish and fall away from grace, then we were never truly born again of God's Spirit. We never were truly the possessors of eternal life if we can easily fall away by our own will and purpose. My friends, we were not saved by our own will. We were saved by the grace and the power and the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it is by the grace of God that we are saved, and by the grace of God that we are kept. Having said all of this, it does not negate the truth of our responsibility to respond by way of obedience to the Word of the Lord. We must strive. We must persevere. We must press forward. We must, as we are told here in verse 1, go on unto perfection. And so as we come to look at these words tonight in the first verse of chapter 6, to go on unto perfection, I wanted to lay that foundation to see what exactly the Apostle Paul was saying to these Hebrew Christians who were babes in their spiritual understanding. They had not grown up. And he was telling them, as we started in the 12th verse of chapter 5, not to go again to the first principles of their faith. There was time enough to speak about the doctrine of baptisms. There was time enough to speak about the resurrection from the dead. Time enough to speak and to deal with the judgment of eternal punishment. And it's not that these things were to be ignored or forgotten, but they were to be placed in the correct position regarding our growth in grace. We are to go on unto perfection. We are to go on in the things of God. And I want to point out to you, first of all, that we must go on in our own personal walk with Christ. We must go on in that aspect of our communion with God, because, my friends, I would suggest to you this is the very heart of the whole matter. devotions to God without the heart is nothing more than vain and a monotonous formality. And actually, for someone who is not progressing with the Lord, there is no such thing as true devotion. If, my friend, tonight you are here in our service and you are not walking with Christ on a day-to-day manner, then you have fallen out of fellowship with Christ. The very word devotion has to do with being devoted to the person that you are following. And so if we have no heart devotion with Christ, it is because we have lost that first love. We have become cold in our heart. We have wandered and drifted away. Will we lose our salvation? No, I do not believe so. Is it possible for us to go on for a long period of time, even into the years, out of fellowship with Christ? That is very possible. And it is the sad reality of Christians that have become ignorant and disobedient to the Word of God. Robert Murray McShane, a Scottish theologian and preacher, said that a man is what he is on his knees before God and nothing more. And every time I think about that statement, it is troubling to me. Troubling because as I look into my own heart, into my own life, into my own communion with the Lord, and I realize that if this statement is true, there are some of us here who are in trouble. For all that a person is before God and then ultimately to the world, if all that we are is what we are on our knees, on our times of communion alone with God, we need to re-examine ourselves. In a human sense, a relationship is not nurtured and cared for. If it is not, it will become neglected and subject to a host of different perplexities. This is often brought on because of selfishness and a careless attitude. If we allow human relationships to break down, it can very often be taken back to that selfishness in us, careless attitude toward that individual. The strength and the health of our Christian walk will be determined by our attitude, the attitude that we have toward God's Word and toward the place that it holds in our own life. Are we going to go on with God in our personal walk with Christ? Are we going to go through with the Lord in our communion with Him through the Word of God? What type of control does the Scripture hold in your life? God said to Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 8 of that book, He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, for then thou shalt have good success." What a story and a statement to be written over the life of a child of God. What kind of encouragement or direction could you ask for more specific than this? Do we want to have success in our Christian life? God has mapped out for us. Here it is. Here is the simple solution and recipe for our success. It is holding communion with God through His Word. It is holding communion with Christ through His Word. It is spending the time that we are most in need of, time alone with God, time in our own hearts before the Lord. If we are going to go on unto perfection, going to go on in our Christian walk, we must maintain a communion with Christ through His own precious Word. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The secret place. The private place. Literally, it is the hidden place. The place where you will get alone with God. The Lord tells us, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of Thy presence." Because when we are there alone with God, where no one else knows the communication of our heart, we're alone with the Word of God, where the Holy Spirit is able to speak to us from His Word. That, my friend, is the place where we are going to grow in our faith. That is the place we must be very careful to guard and to nurture if we are going to walk with the Lord and go on unto perfection. Secondly, we must go on in our resolve to stand for and to defend the truth. We are coming up to a very important anniversary on July the 6th. July the 6th in the year 1415, the Bohemian John Huss was burned at the stake. He was burned there as a result of a conviction that came upon him from the Council of Constance in Germany, where they accused him of the sin of heresy. And they condemned his writings to be burned. And he would not give in to that pressure, though he had opportunity to escape for his own life. He would not take that, for he remained to stand for his convictions on the Word of God. His problem, his accusation, the difficulty that they charged him with was that he refused to give up the Word of God as being the only ground upon which the doctrine for Christian life was to be based. He would not give in to the doctrine of the papal mass. He would not give in to the dogmas and decrees of the church. And he believed that a Christian's life must be based upon Christ and upon the Word of God alone. And he constantly said, as he was before that council, "I am prepared to be corrected by the Word of God." The Bible would not be opened. And none of his charges against him were answered according to the Scripture. This man gave his lifeblood in standing for the truth of God's holy Word. This day is a day of compromise that we are living in. It is a day of plurality. It is a day of tolerance, of much evil in the name of good, and in the evangelical church, it has stepped beyond just mere tolerance, and it has gone to the point of acceptance of the doctrines and systems that openly oppose the Word of God. Dr. Cook, who was with us recently and has written many books upon the subject of separation and of standing for the Word of God, he pointed that truth out to me. When we think about the word tolerance and there is an acceptance there is a not opposing of much evil today among the evangelical church. But he said now it has gone a step beyond that. For there is not just a tolerance today, there is an open welcoming of those doctrines and teachings that so undermine the Word of God. I want to read to you a couple of quotations regarding tributes that were paid to Pope John Paul II after his demise. The first one is from Dr. Billy Graham. He said, "Pope John Paul II was unquestionably the most influential voice for morality and peace in the world during the last 100 years. His extraordinary gifts, his strong Catholic faith, and his experience of human tyranny and suffering in his native Poland have shaped him. And yet, he was respected by men and women from every conceivable background across the world." Graham said, "In his own way, he saw himself as an evangelist, traveling far more than any other pope to rally the faithful and call non-believers to commitment. His courage and perseverance in the face of advancing age and illness were an inspiration to millions, including me." The Evangelical Alliance in the United Kingdom said this, "John Paul II was one of the most remarkable Christian leaders of recent times," said Joel Edwards, General Director of the Evangelical Alliance. "There is no denying his deep personal piety and his courage, faith, and fortitude that he showed as a Christian pastor and bishop in the face of both Nazism and communism. We strongly supported his witness in favor of life and against the culture of death." The Church of Scotland, Dr. Alison Elliott, the first woman moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, said, "Pope John Paul II was surely one of the most outstanding people of the 20th century. However," she added, "there has been little movement during his pontificate to remove the barriers to sharing communion." And so, my friends, this is just a sampling of the evangelical world today. Lifting up and holding a man at the head of a system that is sending millions of people down to hell this very day. Why? Because they openly teach another way of salvation. It is not salvation by faith alone, through Christ alone, but it is a salvation that is by your own good works and by following doctrines and dogmas and decrees, by papal masses, and by a host of other things that all add up to this, a salvation according to your own human works and righteousness. And that is exactly the opposite of what the Word of God says. My friend, I bring you those tonight because if we are going to go on with God unto perfection, then we must be prepared to go on in our resolve to stand for and to defend the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes a stand must be taken with family. And these are difficult times. Because you know that when you take a stand with family on matters like this, it is going to cause division. And there does not seem to be any other way around it. The sad thing is, when people make their choice, "I would rather have the unity of family than to stand and make any opposition because of the word of truth." And it also goes into friendships. There comes a time when we have to stand for God's word, and it's going to mean cutting right down between friendships. But does the Word of God, and is not Christ worthy of that commitment on our part to stand for what is true? And then it most certainly will come in the fellowship of believers. Because when we have to take our stand for what is true and right, people will separate themselves from us. There will be charges hurled of a lack of love, no charity, no tolerance. And sometimes those things are hard to hear from family and from friends and fellowship of believers, but there are times where we have to put those things behind us. And because we want to go on with God, we must go on unto perfection. We must go on to receive from the Lord to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It is far better. And it will be, my friend, to hear those words from Him than to receive the acceptance or accolades of men upon earth. And then thirdly, we must go on unto perfection against all opposition and difficulty. And I'm speaking here perhaps more personally. There are internal struggles. There are things that are going on within your life right now. Personal battles, personal difficulties that you're facing and challenging, opposition that comes to you, and it presents its own warfare within your own heart. It presents its own battle lines, and they are drawn. And it may be, my friend, that it's a personal struggle you're having against some sin. And the devil knows your weakness. And he knows exactly where to put his hand upon you to bring you down. And it happens again and again and again. Sometimes you think, there's no way out for me. There's no hope. I have sinned away the day of grace. Surely the Lord will not have mercy upon me again. And we're grieved with ourselves and we're grieved that we have failed the Lord. My friends, against all opposition, against all difficulty, we must go on. We must press forward. We must press, as the Apostle Paul said, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing else will be worth it at the end of the day. And when we consider the things that so easily distract us and take us away from that goal, how foolish we are. How foolish to entertain those things inside. And yet there are also external things, maybe outside of ourselves, but still in the orbit of our operation. There are attacks that come there from outside. There is opposition that comes. There is difficulty that plagues us. And the devil will know just exactly again where to try and put a wedge between believers and divide and conquer. And if he is allowed to get into our lives and to cause this division, it will bring down our testimony. It will bring down and hinder the witness of Christ. It will stop us from progressing and going on. We must go on against all option. Pardon me, against all opposition and difficulty. Romans 2 and 7 speaks about patient continuance. Patient continuance in well-doing, seeking for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Are you continuing in the Lord patiently? And all the note in the back of our bulletin today that our sister Maud put on is very appropriate. It's called The Patience of Faith, written by Oswald Chambers. And his opening statement is simply this: patience is more than endurance. It's not just saying, well, I'm in a difficult spot and I can't get out of it, so I just have to grin and bear it and press through. That's not what patience is. Patience, in this patient continuance, seeking and well-doing. It is looking at a circumstance, a situation that may be beyond our control, beyond our ability to overcome that in our own strength. And it is to rest upon God, to wait patiently upon Him and for His timing and deliverance. That, my friend, is a godly patience. It is saying, Thy will be done, O God, in my life. And it is not a grudgingly saying, Thy will be done, I cannot change it, therefore I have to just press through. No, it is a willingness of saying, Lord, may Thy perfect will be done in my life. Give me the grace and the strength necessary to go on against and in the face of this internal and external opposition and difficulty. And then finally, we must go on in our service for God. The word perfection is used in this verse. The word perfection is completion. It is also perfection in the true and open sense of the word. The Lord has told us that we are to be holy as He is holy. That is a goal that is impossible for us to keep. But yet it is a goal that we are to aim for. And as we're striving to go on unto perfection, we are to do it in every aspect of our life, in our communion with God, in our stand for truth and righteousness, in our opposition of internal and external opposition, but also in our service for Christ, in our serving God. The Lord calls us to be instant in season and out of season. When we have opportunity easily presented to us, and when things come to us out of our purpose and plan, we are still to press on and serve the Lord. What opportunities has God given you to serve Him? Ask yourself that question. Are you fulfilling that responsibility with all your heart? Have you grown in the grace of God, and are you pressing forward in fulfilling the calling that God has given to you? Or has your service for God been both barren and dry? Do you have to confess tonight that what I'm trying to do for the Lord, or I have been negligent in these matters? Then you need to come and say, as I do before God, Lord, come and breathe upon us with the breath of the Holy Spirit. Come and breathe upon us that we might know that anointing from heaven, that unction from God. We will go on from strength to strength. Let us go on with joy. Let us go on knowing that He is faithful who has called us, who is just and will give us the reward at the end. My friends, this is not accomplished by your own willpower. It's not going to be accomplished by your own ability, but by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us, my friend, this night, let us determine by the grace of God we're going to go forward unto that perfection which God has called us to by His grace and for His glory.